All right, we're beginning here on the top of Ted Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. If a person takes a neder kenidre rishaim, then nadar benazir ube korban ube shvua. That is successful when it comes to taking on a neder nizirut, to making a neder with regards to a korban, or in engaging in a shvua. Kenidre kesherim, if he phrases it alternatively, as nidrei kasherim instead of nidrei yeshaim, lo amar klum. He doesn't say anything because kasherim don't take nidarim. Kinid votam. If he says like their voluntary offerings, nadar benazir ubekorban, then it works by nazir and by korban. It does not work by shvua. So what we have here, in general, is a perspective that the Mishnah is giving on nidarim on shvuot, which is it's associated with Rishayim and not with Ksherim. Now, obviously, when we're talking about Rishayim over here, we're not talking about little Rishayim because that's not what we're interested in generally in Halacha. People who are Rishayim like that don't care. We're talking about Nidre Rishayim. We're talking about people who think they're doing the right thing or probably maybe even doing it for the right reasons, but they really don't understand the implications or the ramifications of a neder. And therefore they're deemed to be Rishayim because we prefer you not to take Nidarim or Shavuot, or we would dissuade you from doing such a thing. We'll see later in today's daf why people would engage in Nidarim and what type of quote-unquote Rishayim that we're speaking about. Now, what happened here is subject to a Machloket Rishonim. Rashi, the Ran, almost all the Rishonim explain that the person used the Kenidre Rishayim as his leader for his neder, which is the equivalent of saying konam, or some other phrase that engages one in a neder. He used the opening phrase of kenidre rishayim, and then he ended with something that had to do with nazir korban or shvua. But more importantly, the case here, and we'll see this in the Gemara, is talking about when the object is in front of them. So he sees a nazir walking towards him, and he says, kenidre rishayim harin, that I am like the Nidre Rishayim, looking at the Nazir, clearly implying that he wants to be a Nazir. There's a loaf of bread in front of him. He says, Kenidre Rishayim Yehezeh, that this loaf of bread will be like Nidre Rishayim, which means that he takes a neder not to eat the bread, or makes the bread asur to him to eat. And the same thing with a Korban. That's one approach, which is that the Nidre Rishayim is simply the vehicle in the language to get to the neder. This is a continuation of the previous Mishnah, so everything here is definitely a yad. The question is, why is it a yad mochiach or a she'enu mochiach? I gave away the answer already, which is the object or the individual is in front of you, which Shmuel will say in the Gemara. But we're definitely dealing with the adult, and we're dealing with the adult, obviously, that are mochichot, because here the Gemara says they do engage, and the neder is chal. So that's why Rashi, the Ran, and others explain it, that we're talking about three different nidarim over here. Person took a Nidre Rishayim, whether it was by Nidre Yisur, whether it was by Neder Nizirot, or by Korban. He used this language to generate the Neder. The Rambam, on the other hand, suggests that the Mishnah means that person took a Nidre Rishayim, Nadar, and then made it conditioned on the fact if he fails to keep it, then that will trigger a Nizirut or a Korban. Which is that he says, I won't eat this loaf of bread. And then if he eats the loaf of bread, that triggers a secondary item, which is either a nizirut, a korban, or some sort of shvuah that is triggered by it. So there are actually two stages over here. The first stage involves the kenidre rishayim, which is that you use that to determine what you want to make asur. And then you give a result if you do not, or if you violate it, what will happen. So according to the Rambam, you don't have three different nidarim over here. You have one neder, and then the result of that neder, or result of violating that neder, will be a nazir, a korban, a shavua of some sort, that will come out of it. The nidre rishayim part of it is a yad. But the real question between them is, do we have three different nidarim here, each one independent? Or it's one neder that has three different outcomes if you violate the neder. So those are the two different ways to read what's happening in the Mishnah. Now, when you use kenidre kasherim, we say no go, because ksherim don't take nidarim. And again, here you see the attitude towards nidarim is that it's not such a favorable attitude. Although, we know that it was very popular amongst the people, both from a perspective of taking some harchakot, distancing oneself from averot, but also in terms of interactions between each other. They used it out of anger, they used it out of spite, and the Chachamim clearly here tell you that they have a very negative view of this usage of nidarim. Now, there is a middle ground here, which is nidvotam. So as opposed to nidrei rishayim, or nidrei ksherim, where it's black and white, nidrei rishayim do engage, nidrei ksherim don't engage, here we have nidvotam. Nidvotam is the equivalent of a nidava versus a neder. Here the Mishnah tells us that nidava works, even for quote-unquote ksherim, because the nidvotam of the ksherim, they do take nidavot, they don't take nidarim. Now we'll have to explain what the difference is. Now you see in that case, kenidvotam, nadar ben nazir ba korban. It works with a nazir and a korban, but does not work with a shvua. Now we'll have to explain what's going on here. First of all, shvua does not work because a kasher never takes a shvua. So as opposed to maybe by nidava versus neder, there might be a distinction for ksherim. With regards to a shvua, they stay far away from it. What about yesterday's daf? But we saw yesterday you take a shvua is ruzei nafshe. So each of the rishonim, the shitato, the rosh says over here that even though sherim take those nidarim, we said yesterday the rosh said that that's not really a neder, that's not really a shvua. It's just the ruzei nafshe. It doesn't take effect at all. Or the Tosafot says sherim don't take shvuot because they're worried about motzi shem shemaim levatala. So they don't engage in shvuot. That goes back to what we discussed on the first daf. The Ran discusses this issue, whether Shavua needs Shem Shemaim or doesn't need Shem Shemaim. But if you believe it needs Shem Shemaim, then you have a risk of Shem Shemaim levatala. According to the Rosh, we don't take Shavuot because in Yan Shavua lo sheach lemeimer nidava. There's no such concept of a nidava by Shavua. Therefore, the Ksherim ain't nishbaim. It's clear here that the Ksherim don't take Shavuot. And therefore, even if you use the language of nidvotam, you're still not going to be able to use that to engage in a shvua. And the Rosh says that yesterday's was about zeruzei nafshe. The Ran will say that yesterday you already commanded min haTorah. So to add a shvua on top of it, it's not a problem. It's not a breach of this idea that ksherim don't take shvuot. But now, kenidvotam, with regards to a korban, it's very easy to distinguish between a neder and a nidava. A neder is when a person says, hari alai, korban, which is that he obligates himself to bring a korban. A nidava is harizo, that this animal or this object is mukdash. So the distinction being whether the person is obligating themselves or whether he is designating the object to be for the korban. So that's the difference between a neder and a nidava. It's found throughout Shas, this distinction. The problem here is that the Mishnah also mentions nazir as being a distinction between a neder and a nidava. And the question is, how do you get that by a nazir? Nazir, whether it's harei alai or harei zo, no distinction there with regards to a nazir. A nazir is either a nazir, is not a nazir, has nothing to do with whether the obligation is on the individual, and obviously you point to an animal and say that that's a nazir, that doesn't do anything for you. So the Ran over here explains that the difference between a neder and a nidava has to do with the sincerity and the kavanah of the individual. And therefore, he says over here, Nirbeinai, the neder, perisho davar shenu balagamre benidvat alev. A neder is something that is not completely voluntary, or a person is not completely sincere. Vinidava perisho, mashadam no der yoter benidvat nafsho. That a person does really voluntarily, with a sincerity, and a deep-seated will to do this. Bishamasav yoter ritsuyim. And therefore, his actions are more acceptable. So here he makes a distinction between neder and nidava as being something where, and I would phrase it this way, that Rambam has such a formulation, it's not exactly along the lines of the Ran, but a similar concept, which is, a neder might be in a case where the goals are lofty, but the individual is doing it because it's the right thing, but not because his heart is in it, but because the goal is correct. On the other hand, a nidava might be where a person has a strong feeling about something, and both his feelings and the goal are of a noble nature. And in that case, maybe that would be deemed to be a nidava, or something that is positive. Now again, both cases are a case of a neder over here. The only question is the sincerity or the intent of the individual, which makes a difference as to whether it's deemed to be a neder or nidava. Now over here, by nidava, the ksherim do take nidavot, because we'll see in the Gemara, there might be some reason why there's less issue or less chance of a problem. But also because of the way that the Ran expresses it, the sincerity or the deep-hearted intent to do the right thing makes that the person, well, first of all, carry it out. And number two is that they're doing it for the right reasons. And those right reasons will then come to fruition. And we have that also by a Nazir, because by the Nazir, we know that the Nazir has two sides of a coin. On one side, he's Kodesh Lashem, and so therefore there's a certain elevated status, might be even greater than the Kohen Gadol. On the other hand, he has to bring a Chatat with regards to a Nazirut, because there's some sort of chait associated with it. And those two items may be the difference in the nature of the Nazirut that's taken over here. Whether the individual taking the Nazirut, or how sincere the nature of the individual is, and taking the Neder Nazirut, again, we'll see that in the later on in the Daf. And so because of that, we get that distinction. So Nidava can work when you use Nidvat Ksherim, because Ksherim do take these types of Nidarim. As opposed to Nidre Ksherim Stam, they do not take such Nidarim. There is one thing that the Tosfot points out over here. What happens if you use the word Konam? And you say, Konam can Nidre Ksherim. Can Konam overcome the deficit in Nidre Ksherim? The Tosfot says, Afilu hachi lo amar kum. He didn't say anything, that Konam cannot overcome this problem. There are those that suggest that Konam can overcome the problem, but both here, the Tosafot and the Rosh, both believe that Konam, together with Nidre Ksherim, does nothing. The Nidre Ksherim is so strong that it mitigates any other language or nullifies any other possibility of generating the Neder, because Nidre Ksherim basically says no Neder over here. Right now, the Gemara says, the Dilma Ochi Kamar. The Gemara's question is, if we're talking about Yadot over here, we know that you have Yadot She'ena Mochichot, and we have Yadot that are Mochichot. The Mishnah is clearly thinking that this is a Yad Mochiach of sorts, or even if it's She'ena Mochichot, there's enough information here that would push us in a direction. But the Gemara says, Dilma Ochi Kamar, Kin Nidre Rishayim Lo Nadrana, that I'm not going to take a Neder like the Rishayim. How do you know when he says Kin Nidre Rishayim, that he is saying, I want to take a neder, like the Rishayim. Maybe he's saying, I don't want to take a neder, like the Rishayim. Now obviously context would be important over here. If a person just comes and says, Kenidre Rishayim, there's no reason for him to say that if he meant, Lo Nadrana, I don't take it. So that's where there is some outside pressure to either take a neder, or to do something. And then when he says, Kenidre Rishayim, he's indicating to the other people that he won't engage in this. That he won't take nederim like this. And it's a response to some other outside stimuli that's causing him to need to take a neder. And when he says, Kenidre Rishayim, instead of saying that I'm trying to engage in a neder, he's trying to say, I don't take nedarim, because it's like the Rishayim. So I'm a Shmuel, Bomer, Kenidre Rishayim, Hareini, Alai, Vehemenu. So this is very supportive of the explanation in the Mishnah of Rashi and the Ran, that we're talking about three different nedarim over here, which is that the neder that he takes here is not just simply Kenidre Rishayim, but rather has an appendix of a word that tells us what he's trying to do. Kenidre Rishayim Hareini, or Kenidre Rishayim Alai, or Kenidre Rishayim Hemenu. So in all those cases, it lines up with the three different cases in the Mishnah. Kenidre Rishayim Hareini is referring to a Nazir. The Alai is referring to the Korban, and the Hemenu is the Shvuah. Hareini b'nizirut, alai b'korban, hemenu b'shvuah. So again, you see the Gemara understanding, it says three different nidarim, or shvuah at the end, that are based on the language. Now the Gemara moves on and says, okay, that's interesting, but did you really still make it into a case where the yad is mochiach? Because hareini b'nizirut, dilma hareini b'tanit kamar. How do you know when he says, kenidre rishayim hareini, how do you know what the completion of that sentence is? How do you know the completion of that sentence is Hareini Nazir? Maybe the completion of that sentence is Hareini Beit Ta'anit. And in a case where there's equal probability of either one being true, then it becomes a Yad Sheinu Mochiach, And then how do you know in our Mishnah that it would be that he's taking a neder nezirut? So Amar Shmuel, again, Shmuel is the one we already established that believes that Yadayim Sheinam Mochichot Einam Yadayim or not Yadayim, and therefore he wants the Mishnah to be a Yad Mochiach. And therefore Amar Shmuel, Kishaya Nazir Over Lefanav. When there's a Nazir walking in front of him. So the fact that the Nazir is walking in front of him generates the context in which becomes a Yad Mochiach. So if he's a Nazir walking in front of him and he says, Kidnidre Rishayim Hareini, it's very clear that he's talking about the Nazir that's walking in front of him and he's trying to engage in Neder Nizirut. Heimenu Bishvua. How do you know that the Heimenu is teaching Shua? Dilma Heimenu Dachil Nakamar. I mean, he says, Kidnidre Rishayim Heimenu. So when he says, Kidnidre Rishayim Heimenu, we're assuming that it means that I won't eat it. Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe he's saying, I will eat it. That he's saying, I'm going to eat it, and the neder is to take it that I will eat it. Now, in that case, you can say, well, there's a shvuah no matter what, but it matters which direction, whether it's a positive or negative sentence. And again, if there's ambiguity here, then it's a yad sheino mochiach, and it wouldn't work, according to Shmuel. So, Marova, damar heimenu shalo ochel. He adds on the additional language of, kinidre rishayim heimenu shalo ochel. And there, again, he's clear about what he's saying. Where it says, Ihochi Maila Memra. Then what's there to say? Over there, you've already gotten to the point where you're not even a Yad anymore. You're taking almost the full nether. So maybe we're saying he's not engaging in a Shua. Kamash Malon, and whether Hadain is in there, the Gra takes that out of the Girsa. Kamash Malon, that he did engage in a Shua. So likely over here, what the idea being is that he's using nether or the Shon nether. He's saying, Kinidre Rishayim, Hemenu Shalo Ochel. And then he generates a Shvua, even though he's utilizing Lashon Neder. And we know that from the fact that Shvua is about the Gavra. And if you're talking about the object itself, then you could talk about a Neder. But over here, when you're saying Shalo Ochel, which is an activity, then activities deal with the individual and not about the object itself. So now it's technically in a negative statement, you could say that you're making the object a sur, that you won't eat it. But over here it seems, and we know from the Mishnah, that he's engaging in a shvua. So you would think maybe this language does not generate a shvua. Kamash Malon, that this language is successful at generating a shvua. Alright, the Ran does ask over here, what happens if a Nazir is walking towards the individual, and he uses the word hareini? Just alone, he uses the word Hareini. Does that generate a Neder Nizirut? Why is he asking that? Because the Gemara in the beginning of Kiddushin says that if an individual says Ehei, then he becomes a Nazir. The Gemara over there asks, doesn't Shmuel believe that Yadayim Sheni Molchichot Einam Yadayim? And Ehei can be Ehei B'Tanit, Ehei B'Nazir. How do you know what he's saying? Shmuel answers over there, B'Nazir Olech Likrato. It's a case where the Nazir is walking towards him and he says Ehei. So it's clear that he means that, hey, I will be like this Nazir. So the Ran over here brings a Deya, which is found in the Tosafot as well. He says that there's a distinction between Ehei and Hareini. That Ehei will work by itself, but Hareini will not work by itself. You will need the additional language of Kinidre Rishayim Hareini. Tosafot says that there is a distinction between Hareini and Ehei. On the other hand, the Ran over here says, Kach pershu rabutai, venu ni rebe einai, it doesn't make sense to me, dareini lo gara mehei. Hareini and hei are synonymous, and whether you use a hei or hareini, each one would be sufficient in and of themselves. So then, why did the Mishnah say, kinidre rishayim hareini, if you could suffice with the language of hareini? It's coming to teach you the second half of the Mishnah, which is, if you say kinidre kishayim hareini, it doesn't work. And so that's what the Ran says. The Chiddush is not about the Kinidre Rishayim Hareini, because that would work even without the Nidre Rishayim. It would work with Hareini. It's coming to teach you that if you use Kinidre Kishayim, it fails completely because Kishayim don't take Nidarim. All right, now we move on. Kinidre Kishayim Lomar Klum, Kinidvotam Nadar. Man Tana, the Shani Le Ben Neder Le Nidava. Which Tana has such a distinction between a Neder being something negative and a Nidava being something positive? Gemara says, Lema lo Rabbi Meir velo Rabbi Yehuda. We have two options over here, possibly. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. And seemingly, they both would not be the right party to be the author of the Mishnah. The Tanya, because they have a Breita. Tov asher lo tidor. it's better not to take a neder. Now the question is, what is the best approach? The pasuk before says, if you take a neder, then you should fulfill the neder. This pasuk says, tov asher lo tidor, better not to take a neder, mishititor velo tishalem, than to take a neder and not pay it. So now the question is, tov asher lo tidor, what is the tov asher lo tidor? What does it mean, it's better not to take a neder? Better than what? Now the simplest reading of the pasuk, and that's the way the Yehuda reads the pasuk, is tov asher lo tidor, it's better not to take a neder, mishititor velo tishalem. Better to do that than to take a neder and not pay off the neder. So that's the simplest reading of the pasuk, and that's the way that Rabbi Yehuda reads the pasuk. It's so simple that the Ran asks, what's the chiddush? What do I need Rabbi Yehuda for to explain the pasuk that way? The answer he gives is very interesting. He says that maybe the person would feel that there's schar in taking the neder. There's more schar if you fulfill it. But maybe there's some positive aspect to the neder itself, even without the fulfillment of the neder. Something along or akin to when a person wants to do a mitzvah. So he does or engages in the process of doing the mitzvah, but he doesn't succeed in doing the mitzvah in the end. So we say that there, the Gemara says, machshava kemaseh. That is positive intent to do the right thing with regards to the mitzvah is counted. It gives him credit, even though he never accomplished the mitzvah. So maybe you want to suggest the same thing here. The Ran is suggesting here is that maybe the person will feel just like by mitzvot, the taking of the neder, which takes a person down a path of trying to do something positive, that in itself is you get credit for. And then if you fulfill it, you get even more credit. But there should be some credit. What Rabbi Yehuda comes to tell you in the end is, there's no credit till you do the complete the neder. Because there's no obligation to take nedarim. It's all voluntary. If it's voluntary, then you can't claim you're getting credit just for doing that voluntary aspect. The whole purpose of the neder is the goal, which is completing the neder. So Rabbi Yehuda reads the pasuk simply, which is, better not to take a neder than to take a neder and not pay it back. But that means that the previous pasuk that says, take a neder, pay it, that would be the ultimate. The ultimate would be, take a neder, do what you said you were going to do. Then, besides that, we say, don't take a neder, because if you take a neder and don't pay back, it's bad. And therefore, here's your gradations. Take a neder and fulfill it. Don't take a neder. And then the lowest is, take a neder and not fulfilling it, which is obviously negative. That's the way Rabbi Yehuda reads it. Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, says, Tov Asher Lo Tidor is the ultimate. That's the best situation. The best situation is, don't take a neder. Period. Right, don't get yourself involved in these situations. How he reads that into the Pasuk, according to Rashi, the Tosafot, over here, all suggest is that he connects it to the previous Pasuk. Instead of saying, Tov Asher Lo Tidor, Mishi Tidor Velo Tishalim, he reads it connected to the previous Pasuk, which is, if you take a neder, fulfill it. Tov Asher Lo Tidor, better not to take it at all. Now, obviously it's a difficult reading of the Pesukim because you have to re-parse it to connect it to the previous Pasuk. But that's the way Rashi reads it, many of the Rishonim read it that way, is the source of Rabbi Meir's position. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Tam suggests, no, that this Pasuk itself tells you that. It says, Tov Asher Lo Tidor, Mishi Tidor Velo Tishalem. It's giving you the reason why it's better not to take a neder. So that's telling you hierarchy. Not taking a neder is better than taking a neder and not fulfilling it. That's not what it's saying. It's saying, better not to take a neder. You know why? Because when you take a neder, you might not fulfill it. And so he reads the pasuk in that manner, and that's why he gets to this hierarchy, which is, don't take a neder is the top. Next down is taking a neder and fulfilling it, and obviously the lowest is taking a neder and not fulfilling it. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir argue about whether taking a neder and fulfilling it is better than just not taking the nederim. And that's what the Breita brings down here. Tov Asher Lo Tidor. Told mize mize shein on the der kol ikar, divi Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says the ultimate is don't take a neder whatsoever. Rabbi Yehuda Meir told mize mize no der umishalem, that the best is a person who takes a neder and pays the neder off. It's only better not to take a neder when you're not going to fulfill the neder. So today's daf will continue with Afilu Teima Rabbi Meir. That Rabbi Meir can be the author of our Mishnah. Tomorrow's daf will start with Afilu Teima Rabbi Yehuda, which is that Rabbi Yehuda could be the author of our Mishnah. At first, the Gemara says neither of them seem to fit into our Mishnah. Either because, according to Rabbi Meir, you shouldn't take a neder at all. Period. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, even Ksherim take nederim and fulfill them. Because it's Tov. The best thing is to take a neder and fulfill it. So if that's the case, then neither of them fit into our Mishnah. So now, Afilu Teima Rabbi Meir, even Rabbi Meir can be the author of the Mishnah. Ki kamar Rabbi Meir, bit neder, bit nadaba, lo kamar. When Rabbi Meir says that, better not to take any nedarim, that's what the neder. By minidava, he would agree that even there, it's better to take the nedava and fulfill it than not taking it at all. So he draws the distinction of our Mishnah, basically. That's what the Gemara is trying to do here, to distinguish between neder and nedava. V'haktani, the problem is in our Mishnah it says, kinidvotam. If he uses kinidvotam of the ksherim, nadar binazir ubi korban, then he engages in neder by nirzir ubi korban, and as you pointed out in the Mishnah, that results in a neder. So even though he said, like the nidava of the ksherim, he ends up in the end with a neder. So to draw that distinction in our Mishnah doesn't work so well, because even though the language used now correlates with what we can explain in Rabbi Meir's Shita, which is, if you say kenidre ksherim, it means nothing. If you can say kenidvat ksherim, it means something or works. But in the end, in both instances, our Mishnah says he ends up with a neder. And according to Rabbi Meir, nidarim are negative. We don't want to end up with nidarim, period. So how do you explain our Mishnah now? According to the Balei HaTosafot over here, the question could have been asked on the Mishnah itself. The Mishnah itself is inconsistent. The Mishnah says, kenidre ksherim lo amar klum. Kenidvotam, then nadar. Well, if kenidvotam, then he ends up with a neder, that means I want to do like the ksherim do in Idava, and then he ends up with a neder, isn't that inconsistent? And therefore, the Tosafot says the question is not only on Rabbi Meir, it's even on the Mishnah internally. How do you reconcile the internal mechanics of the Mishnah, or language of the Mishnah? On the other hand, the Ran says that's not the case, but rather the question is solely laid on Rabbi Meir, because, and it goes to why we could have explained the Mishnah. Had it not been for Rabbi Meir here, distinguishing between Neder and Nidava, I have a way to explain the Mishnah, and that's based on the Ran's explanation before for Nidava, that Nidava doesn't literally mean a Nidava, but rather means a Neder, where a person has true sincerity to it. So therefore, what the Mishnah meant was, kenidvat ksherim nadar. He made a neder. That neder is the neder that's deemed to be a nidava. And that's how you would have explained the Mishnah. But now that I layer on Rabbi Meir's distinction between neder and nidava, I no longer have that possibility of explaining the Mishnah in this manner. Because Rabbi Meir makes a clear delineation or line between neder and nidava. And therefore, if you use neder, it's automatically negative according to Rabbi Meir. And therefore, the question is solely on Rabbi Meir, and that's why the Gemara waited to ask it over here, because it's really only on Rabbi Meir, not on the Mishnah internally. The other hand, Tosafot says it just waited till here because the Gemara was involved in other issues. And now, once it got to Rabbi Meir's position, it engages this question, which is a question we have to deal with anyway, because the Mishnah is inconsistent. So now, Gemara says, Tnei Nadav Benazir Ubi Korban. The easy solution is to change the language of the Mishnah to read Kenid Votam. Instead of using the verb nadar, use the verb nadav. So now, instead of saying nadar b'korban u'benazir, now it says nadav b'nazir b'korban, and therefore by changing the verb, this would work with Rabbi Meir. Gemara says, maishna noder delo. What's the difference between a neder, which we say no, versus a nidava? Gemara says, well, noder delo dilma ati balide takala. Because by a neder, you can come and be tripped up, or you can make a mistake. Nidava namilo doma ata beli de takala. By nidava also, you can come to a takala. You can end up with a problem. Now, a neder and a nidava, we saw before, the difference being that a neder puts the obligation on the individual. And the nidava is that you designate the object itself to have that dusha, but you're going to bring it as a korban. Ron explains over here, nidava nami, you can get to takala. Dilma pasha. Because just like you can have Baal Tacher by a neder, you can also have Baal Tacher by a nidava. So what did you gain by engaging in a nidava versus engaging in a neder? So that's the question of the Gemara. On the other hand, the Rashi over here says, nidava nami, kamari hare zo korban atibil de dakala de gizav avodah. It's a possibility that you'll get hana'ah from the korban, or from that which you made hekdesh. So just like you have troubles that can come up by a neder of Baal Tacher, so too by nidava, you can also have risks. The risks that you engage or utilize the animal for mundane matters, and then you're in violation of mi'ilah. So you can equally be in violation of mi'ilah by a nidava, as you are in Baal Tacher by a neder, or even by mi'ilah by a neder. Rashi says something over here, aval, but Baal Tacher, lo. By Baal Tacher, you can't have this. T'chol eicha de'ita, be'gaz de'rachman aita. That anywhere it is, it belongs to Hekdesh already. Since it belongs to Hekdesh already, you can't be in violation of Baal Tacher. So Rashi says, a nidava is not subject to Baal Tacher. The Rosh says the exact same thing on the Mishnah. On Amr Aleph, the Rosh says the same thing, that there is lo ati l'day takalat baal ta'acher by nidava, and that's why it's called nidvat k'sherim. Why they do it is because you can't violate baal ta'acher. The problem, as the Agot Runschenberg points out, that the Gemara in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah is clear that you can violate baal ta'acher with a nidava. And that's why the Ran obviously explained it that way. The Ran explains that you can equally be violation of baal ta'acher by a neder nidava, because that's exactly what the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says. Which makes it very difficult, according to what Rashi is saying here, and the Rosh said on the Mishnah. What you have to suggest is, the difference between a neder nidava and baal ta'acher is the nature of the baal ta'acher. By a neder, you haven't done anything yet. You haven't designated the korban yet. And therefore, the lack of action over here is that you don't want to expend the money, you don't want to make one of your pieces of property into hekdesh, and there's a higher likelihood that you're not going to fulfill what you said, and you will violate baal ta'acher. Once you've already made the animal into kodesh, to say that I'm not going to bring it as a korban, that's almost a little bit of a silliness, because the animal's already hekdesh. You can't take it back. You're not going to change that. And if that's the case, there's not a lot of benefit in delaying or tarrying and bringing the animal up, except for maybe going up to Yerushalayim. So over there, the baal ta'acher of nidava is a different genre of baal ta'acher than by neder. By a neder, it's that human nature that a person, after they took the neder, somewhat regrets what they wanted, that they were going to do it. And therefore, they never actually carry it out, or they never bring something into hekdesh or expend the money. But by nidava, where you've already gone through the past that point, because you already made the animal hekdesh, then the baal ta'acher is similarly, in some sense, laziness or tarrying in some way, procrastinating in some way, and that's a different form of baal ta'acher. It's less likely to happen, and that might be what Rashi and the Rosh are referring to. There might really be baal ta'acher, but the likelihood of baal ta'acher here is much lower than it is by a neder, and therefore we have to come up with some other takala to explain what's happening over here. So the Gemara says, no, kehilal azakein. The solution is to do like hilal azakein. Titania, amru al hilal azakein, shalom ma'al adam be'olato kol yomav. Person never violated mi'ilah in the Ola of Hilal Zakein. Why? Because Mivi'a Kashi Chulin Azara. He was not Makdishit before he got to the Azara. Zaran points out here, Lav Dafka, you can't bring into the Azara because that's Chulin, maybe Chulin Azara. So he had to do it right before he entered the Azara. He made it Kodesh. Umakdisha, Besomech Alev V'Shochata. He didn't leave any time to have the problem. He simply was Makdishit, right away did Smicha, Shchita, and the Korban was done. So he avoided takala by delaying in the engagement of the kedusha with this animal. Anicha, Gemara says, nidava de korbanot. That works when you're talking about a nidava of korbanot. Because by nidava korbanot, you can distinguish between a neder and a nidava. And the nidava, you can limit the takala by doing it immediately before you bring the korban, which is not designating the animal as a korban until you get the moment before you're about to do the process of the korban. And in that way, you avoid all takalot of baal ta'acher, according to the Iran, according to Rashi, the problem of giza v'avoda, because there's just no time to have that problem. But nidavad nizirut ma'ika l'meimar. Where do you have nidavad nizirut? And this really, the answer of the Gemara really supports the Ran's contention here that nidarim and nidava over here are not simply about the way or the language that you use by korban, which is clearly the distinction of whether you obligate the individual versus the object itself, but rather over here it has to do with the nature of the neder nizirut that was taken. How sincere was the individual when they took the neder nizirut? And that's based on a Gemara, a famous Gemara. Last week's parsha was Nasal. It's very obvious from the psukim here that there are problems with Nazir that have to be dealt with. And here you have Shimon HaTzadik in the beginning of Masechet Nazir that explains his view of Nizirut. And he says here, by Nidavad Nizirut Ma'ikah L'Meimar, Savar Lo K'Shimon HaTzadik. He holds like Shimon HaTzadik. D'Tanya, Amar Shimon HaTzadik, Mi'amai Lo Achalti Hashem Nazir Tamei Ela Echad. I never partook of an Asham Nazir, even though the Kohanim get the portion of the Asham, just like they had a portion of a Chatat. Says, I never participated in an Asham Nazir. An Asham Nazir that comes when a Nazir becomes Tamei, which is that he was taking his Nazirot and Peta Pitom, he became Tamei Tumata Meit. In order to then start over his Nazirot, he has to do his Nazirot Betuma, even to air himself, and at the end of that process, he brings Korbanot to re-engage in his Neder Nazirut B'Tahara. One of those Korbanot is the Asham Nazir. So he says, I never partook of an Asham Nazir Tamei except for this one incident. Pamachat ba'adam echad Nazir min adorom. One time, up to the Migdash, up to Yerushalayim, comes a Nazir from the south. Very ativ. And I saw him, shu yafei na'im. He had gorgeous eyes. V'tov roi, and a beautiful appearance. Handsome. He has beautiful curls in his hair. I mean, this is a extremely handsome individual. What possessed you to destroy this beauty? You have this gorgeous hair. You're about to now, by being in a nazirut, have it all shaved off and ruined. Or you could say in the other direction, which is, once you take a nazirut, you won't be able to maintain it. And therefore it's just going to grow wild and unkempt. What are you doing? I was a shepherd for my father in my city. I went to draw water from the spring. I saw my reflection in the water. And my yitzer got the better of me to say to me to go after my desires in the world, to go after what my eyes see. And wanted to ruin my life. My yitzer hara was getting over me. What are you getting all excited about? A world that doesn't belong to you. In the end, all human beings turn into rot and waste. This is just basar v'dam. This is not what the world's about. So then he says, I'm going to dedicate you to the Shamayim, and I'm going to get rid of this Yetzer. Miyad amanti mishaktiva rosho. Shimran Tzadik says, I immediately got up and kissed him on his head. Amarti lo bni kamocha yirbu nozrei nizirut b'Yisrael. There should be many more people like you that take nidirei nizirut in Klal Yisrael. Alecha katuv omer. On you, the pasuk says, ish ki afli lindor neder nazir lazir l'Hashem. About you, this is who should be taking neder nizirut. You did it, b'shem shamayim. You did it with the most sincere intentions. This is the right Nazirut, and he partook of this Asham Nazir Tamei. Now, over here, what is exactly the problem with the Asham Nazir Tamei? So that's what the Gemara asks. Matrifla Rabbi Mani, Maishna Asham Nazir Tamei. What is so unique about the Asham Nazir Tamei? Delo Achal. Well, that he didn't want to do it. Ati Alchait. Because it comes from a violation. It comes from a violation of the Nazirut that he became Tamei. Kol Ashamo Nami Lolechol Dalchait Atu. Any Asham that is brought to the Mikdash is brought on a sin. It's a result of something bad that happened or was done. And therefore, you should not partake in any Asham. Why was he so uniquely indisposed to eating an Asham Nazir when any Asham would have that same property to it? When they are Toher, they take an Eded Nazirut. When they become Tamei, and the Nizirut then goes on forever, mitchartim bahen, they regret becoming Nizirim, nimtzu mivim chulim lazara. And then it's as if they brought chulim to lazara. It's not literally they brought chulim lazara, because if he's a Nazir, and this happens, you have to bring the Korban. But because of the nature of their charata, their regret, it's as if they're bringing chulim lazara. So in this instance, what happens here is that we have questions about the nature of people taking Nidrei Nizirut, and this is what I mentioned before, that the intention and the sincerity of the individual really makes a difference over here by Nizirut. And that is this Tohim aspect of this. And you can see here, Tosafot, the Rosh, the Ran, all have different interpretations of what the word Tohim means, but that Tohim makes it that the Nidrei Nizirut that they're taking is not exactly the most sincere, or that they might be engaged or want the goal, but aren't as enamored by the means to get to the goal. Which is, here we have, let's start with the Tosafot. Tosafot says, that they worry about their sins, and now, since they have sinned, they're worried about the Yisurim that are going to come on them. So they take a Neder Nizirut as a protective measure for the sins that they have done, in order to create a shield of some sort, that they have some merits that will block these Yisurim from coming upon them. Obviously, they thought they were going to be in there for 30 days, or whatever duration they took in the Nizirut. They become Tamei, all of a sudden it doubles what they thought they were going to be as a Nazir. And yes, the goals were lofty. They wanted to protect themselves from the Yisurim. But in the end, it's just a lot for them because they weren't so enamored with being a Nazir. They're just doing it for this ulterior motive of the protection. And now it's weighing on them. And they have regrets. That's the way Tosafot explains it. The Rosh says, Nivhalim al purnatam. They are worried about the bad things that are happening to them. So not like the Tosafot says they're worried about Yisurim in the future. Purnatam is that they engaged in a Nizirut because bad things were happening to them. It continued afterwards. After they took a Nizirut, another bad thing happened. They became Tamet. But they pour anatam. V'tolino tov avinu teem. And therefore they say it's got to do with our sins. Umarin tshuvah bilibam dream. And therefore they do tshuvah. So, of course, the Tosafot who says that their sins cause them to worry about what could happen to them, therefore they take a Nizirut. The Rosh says, no, bad things are already happening to them, and they're worried about that, and they want to do tshuva, so they take a Neder Nizirut. So one is protective in nature, trying to ward off a problem in the future. The other one is trying to deal with a problem that already exists. On the other hand, the Ran just says, Keshein mitchartim amaseim arayim. So he says that they regret their bad things that they have done, not because of the Yisurim, not because of the Purnanut, but simply they did Avonot, and now they want to do something to offset those Avonot. The Rambam terms this again as somebody who engages in a Nizirut in order to offset certain things that they're doing. They're saying, look, it's bad to do this, it's bad to do that. There I'm going to take a Neder Nizirut and abstain from all these things. Or take a Nedarim that abstain from all these things. The Rambam in that case says that's not a good Neder, that's a negative Neder. Again, even though the goal or the result is lofty, the Neder itself is not positive because we don't do it that way. There, later on, the Rambam does say that if one takes a Neder about a specific issue that they're having a problem with, he's drinking too much, he's eating too much meat, and everybody takes a specific Neder to address that issue, that is a positive Neder. Because there, the person is very focused on the solution and about what they're trying to rectify. They're not taking a general approach to life and saying that meat, wine, all these things are negative. No, that's not the right way to go about it. Things in life, to engage in the world is positive. Now, if you have a specific issue, which is that you as a person are challenged by, whether it's wine, meat, or whatever it is, then taking a neder to try to rectify that problem is different than just taking a general approach. And so the same thing over here. What we have here are people taking nidrei nizirut in order to do the right thing, but they're doing it because they are driven by some sort of ulterior motive, and again, a goal that is positive. But the motive for the Nizirut is not the Nizirut itself. The Nizirut is just a way to engage in the goal that they want. And therefore, when things start to stretch out, they start to regret having taken the Neder Nizirut. As opposed to this individual here, who took the Nizirut specifically for the problem that he was having. He was having a problem with his Yetzer Hara. He was having a problem with his beauty. Therefore, he takes the Nizirut to push against that beauty, in order to deal with that beauty. And there, Shimon HaTzadik sees someone who is completely sincere, and so Ritzuya, that he would not have any regrets. Rashi has a different interpretation over here, which is Chain Toim, he says, is Mit Pachadim. They fear when they're afraid. Kishain Kuasim, when they're angry, no dream. Shaino no dream, L'shem Shemayim, L'shem Kas Minazrim Atzmam. They do it out of anger rather than Shem Shemayim. As opposed to the other views here, who all talked about L'shem Shamayim, even though it was driven by other motives of sorts, not the Nizirut itself, Rashi talks about a completely ulterior motive, which is they're doing it out of anger and not out of any Shem Shamayim, any positive, some sort of emotional engagement in Nizirut, whether they're angry at someone else, they're angry at themselves, whatever it is, but it's not a result of any even lofty goal here. It's something that's just done out of somebody who is impulsive, impetuous, just does X without any thought or forethought. So there, clearly, there's going to be regret involved in this type of neder nizirut. Right now, the Gemara says, Yachi afilu nazir tahor, nami. So he says, wait a minute, if you're talking to me in here about insincere nizirut, well, insincere nizirut starts with an insincere nazir tahara, and then ends up with a Nazir who gets Tameh and then has all these problems. But if you're talking about insincerity should apply for the whole Nazirut. He says, no. Nazir Tahor lo, damude amid nafshei diachol lindor. Because a person, when they engage in the Nazirut, especially according to like the Tosafot, the Rosh, the Ran, where it's done for a proper goal and maybe positive reasons, over there the person assessed themselves and figured out what they could handle. So in that case, their sincerity remains intact because they haven't been challenged with extending the Nazirut. On the other hand, once he becomes Tameh and it gets extended, then they start to feel that pressure or feel that burden of having a Nazirut because it's going way beyond what they ever expected. And then it starts to weigh on them, and that's when the insincerity starts to kick in. On the other hand, this guy who was so sincere that he took his neder, then just simply a problem with the Tumah, he's not going to change that because he was all kulo l'shem shamayim, and he wants to do this, and he will continue to engage in it in order to deal with his Yetzer Hara. So over here we have that distinction, which is between a Nazir Tor and a Nazir Tameh, which is by the Nazir Tameh, their regrets are driven by the fact that the total sincerity wasn't there in the beginning. Again, sincerity, yes, but not sincerity for Nazirut itself, but some other motive that was a sincere motive. But that they can only deal with within the context of what they assigned to themselves, what they took the neder for. More than that, they can't deal with. And then when it gets extended, now they all of a sudden regret the vehicle that they used, this Nazirut, because now it's causing them huge problems, and they wish they solved the problem differently, rather than the Nazirut, versus someone who took the Nazirut for the Nazirut itself. In that case, even if it gets extended, they don't feel that regret, because they want it to be a Nazir, and they want it to be engaged in Nazir, because that's what's giving them the positive outcome that they have in the end. Okay, we'll stop over here at the bottom of Ted Amud Bet, and we'll start with the Ibai Dema, the possibility that Rabbi Yehuda will be the author of our Mishnah tomorrow.